Grab your Bibles this morning and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now, as we begin the new year, we're going to spend the month of January looking at the topic of hope. The hope that we have as children of God in the fact that our King is coming back for us. When you're hungry and you send someone to pick up food, you can't wait for them to return with it. You're thinking about the food, you're savoring the food in your mouth, and then you hear them pull in the driveway and you're sitting there at the table, got your fork ready, and you're just ready for them to get in with your food. And when they come in and you smell that favorite food of yours, you're like, yes, they've come back and they've brought my food. You can relax, you can enjoy. The wait is over. Today, you and I are waiting for something even greater than food. We are waiting for Jesus to return and take the church home to be with Him. Over the next few weeks, we're going to look at topics that deal with the events that are going to happen at the end of time, that's going to happen at the end of ages. Those topics include the rapture. That's what we're going to be looking at today. Next week, we're going to be looking at the return. That is when the King comes back to earth. Then we're going to look at the reign. That is the 1,000-year reign of Christ with the church. And we're going to end looking at the rewards. What is waiting for those who accept Jesus and what is waiting for those who do not. And so as we think of the rapture today, this event should bring great joy, comfort, and encouragement to the hearts of those who know Jesus. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, looking at verse 16, 17, and 18. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up. Now again, if you mark, or some people like to mark or highlight in their Bible, if you do, circle, underline, or highlight that word caught up. That's going to be crucial to what we're looking at today. So it says, we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this passage. We thank you for this series where we're going to be able to look at events that are going to happen in the future and find encouragement in them for our today. Lord, I pray that you would encourage your church. I pray that you would strengthen us. I pray that I would sit down and that you would stand up, and I pray that you would grant us great hope and peace today through your word. We thank you and we love you. It's in the beautiful name of Jesus we ask and pray. Amen. So as we look at this, the first thing that we notice is Jesus is coming. The rapture is a beautiful event that we as Christians have to look forward to. And as we look at this, the first thing that we see in verse 16 is, for the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And so a day is coming when we will be taken off of this earth, we will be reunited with our loved ones, and we will be with Jesus. When it comes to the rapture, there are three main views. There is what's known as pre-tribulation view of the rapture, and that view believes that the church will be raptured before the tribulation. Once the church is raptured, there'll be a time period of 7 years known as the Great Tribulation. And immediately following the Great Tribulation, Jesus will return with the church and set up his 1,000-year rule and reign. That is what's known as pre-tribulation. The second view is mid-tribulation. That view believes that the church will be here for the first 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation, and then they will be raptured midway through and not have to endure the last 3.5, which is going to be the most intense time of persecution. The final view is post-tribulation, and that view believes that the church will go through the tribulation, that the rapture and the return are the same event, that Jesus will, when the rapture occurs, we're caught up with him, we greet him, and then everybody comes back down at the same time and sets up his rule and reign. Now, of these three views, no matter which of these three views we hold, all three of views agree that Jesus is coming back. All three views agree that Jesus is going to take his church up to be with him at some point in time. And as the new year begins, thinking about the rapture should bring us great comfort and joy. When we look at our text today, The first thing that we see is that the Lord himself will descend. Now, this is important. This is not an angel. This is not another prophet. This is not another leader or teacher. This is Jesus himself's coming back. You know, throughout Scripture, we see where angels showed up. Throughout Scripture, we've seen where prophets have shown up. We've seen different people that have come on scene, such as apostles, like Paul and Peter. But what we see taking place here is not a representative. This is Jesus himself. The Lord is coming back to call his church home. The Lord is coming back to get us. And when Jesus returns, it's going to be a spectacular event. He says there's three things that we see taking place. Now, if these things take place at the same time or in order or at different times, we don't know. But we do know that these three incredible things are going to happen. The first thing is there will be a shout. Now, some of the modern translations, such as the NIV, translates that as there will be a command. And that's actually what the Greek word means here. It is a command that's happening. It is the voicing of a command. It's not like, because a lot of times when we think of shout today, we think of a little kid running and screaming and shouting. That's not what the Greek means. We think of someone who just saw something they're scared of and they shout. That's not what we're talking about. What is happening here? The Lord himself will descend with a shout. The Lord's going to come with a strong, mighty command. In other words, it's time. Go. The time has come for the church. And so we see that there's going to be this powerful voicing of a command. The second thing that we see is there's going to be an archangel. Now, this is a particular type of angel mentioned in Scripture. Now, we don't know which archangel it will be. We can tell that there are more than one archangel because the text says the voice of an archangel. It doesn't say the voice of the archangel. And so we can tell that there's more. Now, we are introduced to an archangel in Daniel named Michael. It could be him. It might not be. We don't know. But we know that it's going to be a particular type of angel that's going to come. And then there will be a trumpet. Now, for us, we're just like, what's the big deal about that? But we have to understand the culture. For the Jews, the trumpet meant something. Trumpets were used to signal war. Trumpets were also used to signal special joyous occasions. And so all three of these things are going to happen. And so when this event happens, there will be no doubts about the incredible, awesome power of God. Because Jesus is going to be there in the air with a powerful command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. No matter what you find yourself dealing with as you begin 2024. You know, for some of us, 2023 was an interesting year. For some, 2023 was difficult. For some, it was encouraging. And so no matter what you're dealing with as you start 2024, I want to encourage you today. I want to remind you today that if you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, the day is coming when he's coming back for you. The day is coming when he's coming to get you. John 14, Jesus teaches us, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And here's the beauty. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Jesus is returning for his church. And the beautiful thing is not only that Jesus is coming back, but that we get to join him. We get to join in. And the rest of verse 16, and the dead in Christ will rise first. In verse 17, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. And so as we look at this event, Jesus is going to come down in the air. And the first thing that's going to happen is the dead will raise first. This passage is one of the most encouraging passages in all of Scripture when struggling or dealing with the loss of loved ones. Because what we see here first is that the dead, those who have went on before us, those that have given their heart and their life to Jesus Christ and have died, will raise first to be with Jesus. When the rapture occurs, those who have died will not be left out. They actually get to go first. Well, this leads to a difficult question. If the dead are raised first, does that mean they're not with Jesus right now? Because here it says the dead are raised first. Well, what does that mean? Well, from Scripture, we know that this doesn't mean that they're not with Jesus, because in 2 Corinthians, Paul teaches that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So what happens when we die? When we die, our body goes into the ground and our soul spirit goes to be with Jesus. And we are in the presence of Jesus. And so what's going to happen here is the spirit and the body is going to be reunited. Now, some people will say, how does that work with cremation? Or how does that work with these other things? You telling me God ain't powerful enough to put a body back together? First of all, that's one thing. The second thing is, it's not going to be the same body. It's going to be a different body. Also in Corinthians, Paul tells us that what is sowed corruptible will raise incorruptible. The body that we have now is just a seed. And when it goes into the ground, it's going to grow into something even better. Our resurrected bodies are going to be greater and better than anything we could ever think or imagine. So when it says the dead in Christ will rise first, what's going to happen is the bodies of the dead are going to be reunited with their soul spirit. And once again, they will be whole and be with Jesus. At this event, those who have died will receive the resurrected bodies. One commentary says this: when the Lord returns, he will bring the soul with him, will raise the body in glory, and will unite body and soul into one being to share his glory forever. As we think of this event, we cannot forget those that are still alive, because next we see what's in store for them. Because this passage helps us to see not only what happens to those who have died, but also to those who are still alive. It says those who are alive will be caught up with Jesus and our lost loved ones in the air. Now, I told you earlier to mark or highlight or circle that word caught up. The Greek word that is used there for caught up is where we get the idea of the rapture. The word means to snatch away suddenly. And so what happens is those who are alive are going to be suddenly snatched out. It's going to happen just like that. It's going to be incredible. It's going to be awesome. And since this word applies suddenness, it helps us to see the quick return of Jesus. He did say it would happen, but he didn't say when it would happen. And he also told us that it would happen when nobody knows. In Mark 13, we read, but about that day or hour, no one knows, Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. So this event, this rapture, is going to happen suddenly. Jesus will gather his people into one place. Matthew 24, and he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. So what we see taking place is all of those that have given their life to Christ is going to be united together in the air with Jesus. Both the dead resurrected with their resurrected bodies, and the living will join them. We see that at this moment, guess what? We're going to get our new bodies too. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul writes, "In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed." So not only will the dead be reunited with their bodies, but you and I will be given new bodies. Well, why do we need new bodies? Well, if you have to ask that question, you've not been alive long enough. Because anyone that's been alive for any period of time knows why we need a new body. These get old and weary and broken and tired. Our new ones will not. These have aches and pains. Our new body will not. We will be changed. We will be perfect. Because of the suddenness of this event, we need to be ready. We need to be about the work of the Lord because we don't know when Jesus is going to return. It could be today. It could be tomorrow. It could be next week. We don't want to be taken by surprise and not living our lives for Jesus when he comes. We need to be ready. And so as we look at this, these two verses, there is so much hope and there's so much comfort. The dead will be raised. We will join them. Do you guys have some lost loved ones that have died in Jesus that you can't wait to see again? This is when it's going to happen. How awesome is that? We get to be reunited with them. And you know, no matter how exciting this is, no matter how awesome this is not the best part of the rapture. The best part of the rapture is what we see next. It says, "And thus we shall always be with the Lord." The best part of the rapture is we come into the presence of Jesus forever. I look forward to seeing the loved ones that I have lost, but that's not why I want to go to heaven. I love my family, but I love my Jesus more. I can't wait to get to heaven to see Jesus. I can't wait to get to heaven to come into the presence of my Lord and Savior who took my place on the cross. I can't wait to look at him and to be in his presence and to be with him for all eternity. You and I will spend every moment of every day with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. No pain, no suffering, no heartache, no hurt, no loss, just joy, just Jesus forever. You talk about a future. Man, if that doesn't get us happy, nothing will. If that don't get us excited, nothing will. We will be with our loved ones, we will have new bodies, and we will be with Jesus. Let's think about this. We're going to be reunited with our loved ones. How awesome is that? We're going to have new bodies. No surgeries needed. No cancer cells. Perfect bodies. And we'll be with Jesus for all eternity. And you know what? That's why Paul wrote this text. I don't know about you, but I sure look forward to the day when I will be in the presence of my Savior for all eternity. We cannot escape the Lord's presence, which is a great truth. And because of that, we should be encouraged. Verse 18, therefore, comfort one another with these words. We are to comfort and encourage each other with this truth. with this text, we have to be very careful not to spend our time trying to determine the order of these events. If we use this text to try to determine how Christ is coming back, when Christ is coming back, the order of the events, we miss the entire point of what Paul is trying to get across. You see, when Paul wrote this letter, there were some false teachers that were saying Jesus has already come back, and they were left out. And so they're like, what? So Paul wrote this to them first to encourage them that they hadn't missed the rapture. You guys are good. You'll know when it happens. And second, he wrote it to encourage them about the sadness they had over the loss of loved ones. Now, in the Bible, we see that we are allowed to grieve when we lose a loved one. But we don't grieve like the rest of the world. Because if our loved one died knowing Jesus Christ, and we die knowing Jesus Christ, then it's not goodbye. It's see you later, or see you soon. Because this passage gives us hope that we're going to be reunited with them. Now, at the same time, this passage also gives a warning to those who do not know Jesus. Because if you have lost a loved one who knows Jesus, and you die and do not know Jesus, then you will never see that loved one again. You will never laugh with them again. You will never come into their presence again. You will never get to see them again. But it doesn't have to be that way. Because you can give your heart and your life to Jesus. Knowing the great truth of the rapture should encourage us, and we should encourage one another. What a great comfort these words should bring to our hearts. But if we don't know Jesus, this passage does not apply to us. We will not see our loved ones in Jesus again. We do not have hope and comfort. However, we can gain that hope and comfort by giving our lives to Jesus. Maybe you're here today and you've never made that decision to give your heart and your life to Christ. Maybe you won't be a part of the rapture. Maybe you'll be one of those that's left behind to endure intense suffering. That doesn't have to be you. Because God, in His love for us, sent Jesus the first time. The first time Jesus was born in a manger. He came as a baby. We have just spent a month celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who would grow up, live a perfect life, and go to the cross for our sins. Jesus would die on the cross for your sins and my sins. And all we have to do is cry out, Lord, save me. And when you and I give our hearts and our lives to Jesus, then we are saved. Then we come into a relationship with Creator God. Then we get to be a part of the rapture. So if you're here this morning and you're not going to be a part of the rapture, see me before you leave today and become a part of it. Because in the rapture, we have hope as we wind through our chaotic, complicated life. All right. I'm going to ask a question this morning, and I actually want you to raise your hands, okay? Who in here has an easy life? Nobody raised their hand. None of us have an easy life, do we? We were never promised an easy life. We were never promised a bed of roses. Today, each and every one of us have lost someone we love who knows Jesus Christ. Guess what? This passage gives us hope. We get to see Him again. Every single one of us today struggle with hardships and difficulties as we begin a new year. Guess what? This passage gives us hope because Jesus is coming back for us. Today, we struggle. Tomorrow, we get to be with Jesus. Today, we deal with difficulties and hardships. Tomorrow comes a day when we'll be with Jesus. Maybe not tomorrow, literally, but you know, it's never tomorrow. It's always today. So tomorrow we will be with Jesus in the future. We might struggle today. We might struggle this year. We might have things happen to us this year that we didn't expect. But that's okay, because Jesus is coming for us. He's coming to get his church. A day is coming when the command will be given. Jesus will come down and we will join him in the air. When we look at our world today, we need hope, don't we? There's a lot of hate, hurt, and difficulties in our world, isn't there? Brother against brother, silly arguments and fights, whether it's in the government, whether it's in our churches. We need hope. There's a lot of people fighting with cancer right now. There's a lot of people that are dying. There's a lot of people who have died. We need passages like this that encourage us about our future. Passages that remind us that a day is coming when we will be with Jesus. Let me tell you, church, the rapture is real. The rapture is true. And a day is coming when Jesus will come back for his church. And what is incredible, as you read through Revelation, Revelation chapter 1, Revelation chapter 2, Revelation chapter 3, talks a lot about the church. You know that the church is not mentioned again until Revelation 18 or 19? So, if the church is not mentioned during the time of all the wrath of God, what do you think that means? I think it means we're not here. I think it means we've been raptured. I think it means that God has come back and taken his church. We may have suffered, but I don't believe we're going to be here during the intense suffering. I believe he's going to take the church away to be with him. Oh, what hope. Oh, what joy. We have hope in Jesus, knowing that he's coming back for us. Jesus is coming back for his church. And so with that, I want to ask a very important question this morning. Are you a member of his church? Now, hear me right on this. I'm not asking you this morning if you're a member of Hopewell, because I hate to tell you this, you can be a member of Hopewell First Baptist Church and still die and go to hell. You shouldn't be, because one of the requirements to be a member is to profess faith in Jesus Christ. But there are people who talk the talk but do not walk the walk. There are people who believed they are saved and are not. You can be a member of Hopewell and not be a member of Christ's kingdom. You can also be a member of Christ's kingdom and not be a member of Hopewell. What I'm asking you this morning is not, are you a member of this church? Are you a member of the kingdom of heaven? Have you given your heart and your life to Jesus? It is so easy for us to forget that this building is not the church. We are the church. And that includes every single believer of Jesus Christ. Do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? Jesus is coming back. Are we ready? Are you ready for his return? Jesus is coming back. Find hope in that truth. Jesus is coming back. Encourage one another. Jesus is coming back for, I want you to insert your name if you know Jesus. If you're here this morning and you know Jesus, I want you to say to yourself, Jesus is coming back for me. How cool is that? Make it personal. Realize. Today and this month, I want to encourage us. as we look at events that take place at the end of time. I want us to know that if we have a relationship with Jesus, we're going to be a part of the rapture. When the rapture occurs, we're going to join our loved ones, we're going to get perfect bodies, and we're going to be with Jesus. My dear people, that's great news. That's hope. Do you know Jesus today? If you don't, will you come? If you know Jesus today, tell him thank you for the hope that you have. Lord, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for your incredible love, grace, and mercy. We thank you for the hope that comes from knowing Jesus. And Lord, we pray that we would just encourage each other with these words. We pray that every one of us would leave here encouraged today, knowing that a day is coming when we will be reunited with our loved ones. A day is coming when we will be given perfect bodies that do not age. A day is coming when we will be in the presence of our Lord for all eternity. We thank you. We love you. We give this time to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we have our song of invitation.